in healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
And the fact is that we have been good friends with Donald and his family for many years, and there was no choice in my mind.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is endorsing Donald Trump to be President of the United States.
There is no one who is better prepared to provide America with the strong leadership that it needs, both at home and around the world, than Donald Trump.
In a statement in Fort Worth, Texas, Christie said Trump is the candidate with the best shot at defeating Hillary Clinton. Christie gave a glowing endorsement of his former opponent for the nomination, saying he's a strong and resolute leader. It's a tough day for family members who lost loved ones in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. It was 23 years ago today, terrorists drove a van containing a 1,200-pound bomb into the parking garage of the North Tower. The bomb killed six people, including a pregnant woman, and injured more than 1,000 others. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that more than 100,000 Americans have a serious lung disease that very few people know about? I'm Dr. David Lederer, co-director of the New York Presbyterian Columbia University Interstitial Lung Disease Program. Idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, or IPF, is a severe, irreversible disease causing scarring of the lungs. IPF can seem similar to other diseases, so many people with IPF may be undiagnosed or misdiagnosed for years. Symptoms include a persistent dry cough, shortness of breath, and a Velcro-like crackle in the lungs, which a doctor can hear. IPF generally affects people over 50 and is slightly more common in men, with a 5-year survival rate worse than many cancers. Diagnosis is important, as treatments are now available. The Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation strongly recommends you see a pulmonologist if you experience shortness of breath that limits your ability to walk up stairs or hills, or an unexplained persistent cough lasting longer than 8 weeks. Go to pulmonaryfibrosis.org to learn more about IPF.
The most wild Republican debate yet is in the books. Here's senior correspondent Jason Wirt with the post-game recap.
Donald Trump was like a man at a mark with two armies shooting at him during the final Republican debate before Super Tuesday. Trump challenged Senator Ted Cruz regarding constitutional issues, and Cruz slammed back very hard on Trump.
Let me tell you right now, Donald, I will not apologize for a minute for defending the Constitution. I will not apologize for defending the Bill of Rights.
Both Cruz and Rubio took aim at Trump, saying Americans need to vote for a president who honors the Constitution. I'm Jason Wirt.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is endorsing Donald Trump to be President of the United States. In a statement at Fort Worth in Texas, Christie said Trump is a candidate with the best shot at defeating Hillary Clinton. Christie gave a glowing endorsement of his former opponent for the nomination, saying that he was a strong and resolute leader. Marco Rubio isn't letting up his attacks on Donald Trump. Campaigning in Dallas today, Rubio said the GOP frontrunner is a con man who would get shredded by Democrats in November. This is USA Radio News.
Last night, Cheryl Loggy made her status. Any moms out there know a good stroller for twins? Help! It got 10 likes and 8 comments. Geico also has a comment, Cheryl. While we don't know which stroller you should go with, we do know that in as little as 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance just by switching to...
Okay, we're here, and it's the sports guys, Pat Smits and Bill Wolfson, and Pat's leaving, and I hope Ken is joining us. Ken, are you on, or did I miss it? Ken?
I'm here. I'm here remotely.
Okay. Here. Well, Ken, talk a little louder, and you and Bill have the floor. And great sports guys. The rest of us are going to the dinner dance. He's going to have to talk louder.
Okay. Have fun.
Ken, why don't you go ahead and talk, and Bill will be on the headphones shortly.
Okay, yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk briefly about the tremendous Lehigh Valley Phantoms game that we all attended last week.
Ken, are you there?
And, I'm here.
Okay, Ken, we can hear you.
Okay, good. I can hear you, too, so that works. Yeah, Bill, I was just starting to talk about the Phantoms game that we attended last week, and the fact that you seem to me possibly having a second career as a Zamboni driver.
Well, thank you very much for that, Ken. It was a lot of fun on that Zamboni. I just wish we had more people attending, and hopefully next year we will. It was a lot of fun, even though the Lehigh Valley Phantoms did not win. They lost in overtime at the shootout. 5-4 against the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. A good time was had by all, especially by me, because I got to ride the Zamboni, as did Chris Phelan, his daughter, and his son.
Yeah, it was nice. You know, we had a decent turnout, though. I think we had about 15, and hopefully, based on our comments, we'll get even more people for next year's game.
I think so. The Phantoms have already asked if we're interested in coming back, and I've said certainly we are, but it'll probably be next season because I start to get really busy both at work and with some personal things and getting ready for the summer, and I imagine a lot of other people too. One of the things I'd like to see us do, Ken, is have a Chamber of Commerce Sports Guys night at the Somerset Patriots. As everybody knows, baseball, I just had pitchers and catchers and regular infielders and outfielders report. And the first spring training games, I think, start on March 1, don't they?
Yeah, you're right. I think that'd be a great idea, Bill. I happen to know a couple people associated with the Somerset Patriots, so maybe I can make a couple quick phone calls and see if we can make that happen in the spring and you know, get some turnout for that game as well.
That would be really great. Meanwhile, Ken, to advertise something like that, we know we need a lot of lead time, so I would like to see that happening on some very nice Saturday night or maybe Wednesday night in June. Not too hot yet. It'll be a beautiful evening. Hopefully there'll be a good turnout. And the Somerset Patriots provide a very nice quality baseball game and a nice environment. Even the stadium food is pretty good, which is not always the case, although I will say that although I didn't have anything to eat at the Pennsylvania Power and Light Arena where the Lehigh Valley Phantoms play, some of the stuff there looked pretty good. And they opened at Tim Hortons, just like they're doing in Somerville.
Yeah, Tim Hortons, as you hockey buffs know, was a Hall of Fame hockey player with the Maple Leafs and a few other teams. I know he played a year or two with the Rangers, and his chain of baked goods and bakeries is, like you said, spreading into the States, started in Canada. And, yeah, just one of the many treats that they have there at the game. And you're right, at the Somerset Patriots is a great ballpark. I think several years in a row they won Minor League Ballpark of the Year, voted by Baseball America. So if you haven't been there, it's definitely a great experience. Very family-oriented, very similar to kind of how the Lehigh Valley team runs their hockey arena as well.
Oh, that's right. And, Ken, you know, you're the one that gave me the idea for taking the group there because you had gone, said there wasn't a bad seat in the house. And I think I should tell our radio listeners, we were center ice, section 204. The seat was comfortable. The view was great. And I think everybody who attended had a good time.
Yeah, and it certainly doesn't hurt when the quality of play was excellent. You know, just I would say a quarter step below maybe NHL level. We saw a lot of future NHL players, and we may have seen one or two former NHL players as well. But great game. The Phantoms were down 4-2. They came back, tied it up late had a couple opportunities to win in overtime and then eventually lost in the shootout. But, you know, a shootout is kind of a tantamount to a coin flip, really. But definitely a great fan experience.
Oh, it certainly is. It certainly was.
Always good to have a competitive game in that kind of a situation.
Yeah. You know, I enjoy organizing events like that, and you always wonder just what the turnout's going to be like. But, you know, we bought 20 tickets, and I think we ended up with 19 people in attendance, and it worked out very, very nicely. What I'm hoping for, though, is that we do it again next year, and we can get the same size group or perhaps more. I think we had a little problem this year because the event came together pretty quickly, and it was right after we were down for a week when Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio was off the air because of a change in vendors. So I think next year things are going to go a little better for us, and hopefully we'll do it a little earlier in the season, like right after the holidays and before we get into the football playoffs. But I like the idea of trying to have the event maybe even the weekend before the Super Bowl, when the only thing really on TV where anybody might want to remotely watch is the Pro Bowl. And I make it a point not to watch the Pro Bowl or any other All-Star game.
Yeah, I think the only one I watch, Bill, is I do watch the NHL All-Star game. They have a different format this year with the 3-on-3 and the each individual divisions playing the other divisions for the championship. You know, I don't know. I agree with you. The All-Star formats really don't generate much interest, but the NHL seems to put forth some time and effort. They really put some thought into how to make it something for the common fan like you and I to just enjoy, because there's no real rooting interest, you know, so it's tough to get too involved in it, but I think they did a good job with it this year.
I think so, too. I don't know what we're ultimately going to see as far as a lot of these All-Star events. I really think they're there to give the rest of the league time off or a couple of vacation days in mid-season. It's there also to boost some incentives and some player contracts. I know a lot of guys try to avoid it because they don't want to take the chance of getting hurt when they're making so many millions of dollars. So I've never been a big fan of All-Star games. Meanwhile, I'd like to talk a little bit about baseball. Ken, I understand that baseball is going to try to speed up. They announced a new rule.
They tried to do it last year. I think they cut about 5 or 6 minutes off the average game. And the rule changed this year, a couple things. But the one that I think is going to be the difference maker, they're going to make between innings, they're going to cut 20 seconds off the between innings every inning. So you multiply 20 seconds times 18, because there's 18 half innings in the game, and you get 6 minutes. So if everything else remains equal, the games will be 6 minutes shorter next year, which is, you know, I guess it's significant. They took 5 or 6 minutes off last year. They took 6 minutes off this year. All of a sudden, we're looking at 11 or 12 minutes shorter, which I think is good. You know, a lot of people don't have that amount of time to be able to commit to watching a baseball game. And I think the pace of it, too. I think they're trying to speed up the amount of time that the managers go when they go to the pitcher's mound to talk to the pitcher. They're going to reduce the amount of time that they can speak out there. I think they're going to reduce the amount of times the catcher can go talk to the pitcher in an inning. All the things that kind of, they just make the game drag. They really don't, you know, nobody gets enjoyment out of watching a, you know, a pitcher talk to a catcher. So if they can shorten that kind of thing and speed the game up, I think it's a win for everybody.
Well, that may very well be. I know that when you watch a baseball game on TV, it can sometimes turn into a three-hour event, and getting to the ball game, watching the game, sitting there can also be a long time. But the one thing I've always liked about baseball is it didn't have a clock. And as we get busier and busier, I like the idea that baseball has a slow pace. I mean, Ken, the other thing I like about baseball is, what other sport can you watch on TV? Get up, go to the kitchen, make yourself a sandwich, come back and not have missed a thing.
Yeah, and Bill, that's a great point. I think that is some of the beauty of baseball. But here's the problem. You and I are dyed-in-the-wool baseball fans. We watch the game, we live the game, breathe the game. For the average fan, when you have all these things, you know, the times when the catcher's talking to the pitcher, manager comes out to talk to the pitcher, there's two or three minutes between innings. It really gets to drag. And unless you're a really big baseball fan, you get distracted, something, you flip the channel or whatever, and you stay on the other channel. And you don't come back to the game. I think that's the kind of fan that they're trying to bring into the game and become, get them ingrained like you and I are.
Well, that's very true. Ken, we've got to hit the money button and play three spots, and then we're going to be right back, folks. So, Ken, I'm not sure where you're calling from, but just stand by, and we'll play a few commercials, and then we'll be right back.
At Credit Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature a
collection
of awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Service and great pricing.
Yeah, where are you, by the way?
Flemington is conveniently located in the state
of work
center in Flemington.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you're not going to be coming down.
And a whole lot more.
What's that?
You're not going to be coming down.
No,
Okay, you're going to go straight home. Okay, well, let's hit the next ad.
Okay.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it.
I don't know if you can hear it or not.
The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like,
can't
will your money last throughout your lifetime?
So do you.
Will you have enough to live the life you want?
Okay.
And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Well, Ken, I hope you're still there and ready to talk some baseball.
Still here, Bill.
Very good, Ken. Well, we've had another bit change in the baseball rules. They've now adopted new rules on sliding that aren't really completely clear. You may remember when, as I'm sure you do, Ken, block slides are now banned after New York Mets shortstop Ruben Tejeda suffered a broken leg on a takeout at second base in last year's playoffs by Dodger infielder Chase Utley barreling into him with a slide. So now baseball and the players' union now prohibits a runner from changing his pathway to the base or using a roll block for the purpose of initiating contact with the fielder. Potential violations are going to be subject to instant replay review, as will neighborhood play calls, which were previously exempted from replay review. A bona fide slide occurs when a runner makes contact with the ground ahead of the base, is in position to reach the base with his hand or his foot, and attempts to remain on the base without changing his path in order to initiate contact with the fielder. So now we have rules about sliding, and it looks to me like you have to slide without changing your path for the purpose of taking out the shortstop or the second baseman trying to turn the pivot. The slide rule keeps you on the bag. You've got to be near the bag, and on the neighborhood play, you've got to stay on the bag. You know what that means? I think there's going to be a problem when we see a lot of close plays or where the runner just happens to go for the base and take out the infielder at the same time. Does the infielder get some kind of protected status now for being over top of the base, fielding the ball and trying to make a throw when the runner arrives? I always liked the takeout play. I mean, I hated it as a second baseman when I played. and I never had the arm to be a shortstop, but when you got the ball from the shortstop and were about to tag second and make the pivot to make the throw, some guys would come in sliding on their butt with their legs and spikes just about waist high. And it wasn't a pretty thing to have to contemplate, and it shook you up a little bit, but you still had to make the play. They're making the game safer, perhaps, but on the other hand, what about the hook slide? Have they taken that out? And everybody knows a hook slide is where you're trying to avoid the tag, so you have your torso traveling away from the base, but you're still trying to hook the base and grab the base with your hand or your foot. So what's your take on this, Ken? You're the Mets fan who saw Tejeda get hurt.
I tell you, Bill, it's a great point you bring up, and I think from what you described and what I've been hearing, I think there's going to be a lot of ambiguity because the players have been playing the game one way all their lives, no matter how old they are, from Little League on, they basically had the same rules, and now they're going to be playing by different rules. I mean, I totally get it. The Hotta gets his leg broken last year. The guy from the Pirates, Kong, Jung Ho Kong, he had his leg broken last year. They have to protect the players. These are multi-million dollar investments. They have to protect them, both the runner and the fielder. How the players are going to react to it, Bill, I have no idea. The problem is they've got to figure out, the players have to figure out how to play the game legally, safely, and the umpires have to figure out how to call the game. Look what they did when they prevented the runners from crashing into the catchers at home plate. There's ambiguity there. The runners really don't know what to do. Well, can I hit the catcher? Can I not hit the catcher? The catcher's standing there. Can I stand here? Do I have to stand there? What if I put my foot here? They don't know what to do. I'm afraid we're going to see the same thing at second base, except it's going to be magnified because there are many, many more plays at second base than there are home plate. Sometimes you can go a whole game and not have a play at home plate. You cannot play a whole baseball game with having several, some instances where this is going to come into play. And the fact that I think I heard you say they've eliminated the so-called neighborhood play.
That's right.
That they have to stay on the base. If they have to stay on the base, someone's going to get hurt because these runners are not used to not hitting the fielder to stay on the base. That's why the neighborhood play is there. I think it would be interesting how this is going to play out, but I'm afraid that someone might get hurt before they realize what they've done.
That could very well be. And one of the issues is going to be whether the slide, a legitimate slide to try to get to the base to avoid a tag, or was it a deliberate attempt to injure? It's like
right.
Hockey and the interference rule or the goalie interference rule, the rule where the goal didn't count if the forward was in the crease blocking a goalie's vision, whereas you could be outside the crease and block the goalie's vision and screen, which has always been part of the game. It's going to lead to a lot more instant replays, and I think if they want to shorten the time it takes to play the game, they've just put that time back into the game when it comes to base running. So
yeah,
I'm wondering how that's going to shake out.
Maybe that's why they took the 20 seconds out every inning, because they know there's going to be 5 or 6 minutes a game now spent watching additional replays at second base and at various other points in the field. But you make a great point there. This is going to, without a doubt, add time to the game, not subtract time from it, and not speed it up to slow it down.
Well, if you can make the game more interesting, as I think hockey succeeded in doing with 3-on-3 overtimes, that's great. And you get to a result without the need for the dreaded shootout, which I think is a farce. But
mm-hmm.
If you can make baseball more interesting to more people, that's great. But being an older guy who's been watching baseball now for 55 years, let's say, I kind of resisted the designated hitter rule. I wasn't crazy about some of the other changes in baseball. I have always thought the intentional walk should just be announced rather than have the catcher and pitcher just throw the ball far outside the strike zone. And I've never been really comfortable that I understood the rules for a balk, because I think balks are not called enough if, in fact, you're going to enforce that rule. So you know, the rule changes are going to take a while for people to adjust to. But, you know, at the end of the day, these sports are fun, they're entertainment, but they also are a business. And what I'm finding is that more and more, because they are a business, they're being driven by the needs of television rather than the needs of the people who actually pay to go to the game or who, you know, sit there and watch the game at home in the comfort of their living room and want to enjoy the game rather than have all the intrusion of commercials. I know the commercials pay for this, but with pay TV, you're already paying for it. So let's find ways to make the game more interesting and less commercial-driven or commercially driven, and I'd be a whole lot happier. But then again, that's my fantasy. And it's just not going to happen the way I'd like to see it. What's your take, Ken?
Yeah, it's really going to be interesting to see how the umpires handle this new rule, see how the players handle it, both the fielders and the runners. I don't know. It'll be impossible for me to guess how it's going to turn out. But like you, I'm more of a baseball, I'm more conservative. I don't like the designated hitter rule, but it sounds like now that there are some National League teams whispering about making the designated hitter a consistent rule rather than have two different, basically two sets of rules in the leagues, which kind of makes sense because now that there's interleague play every day, there's no reason why the National League and the American League shouldn't play by the same rules. It's silly not to play by the same rules. And obviously the American League is not going to abolish the DH. It's up to the National League to kind of adapt it. And I think that's what's going to happen. Sooner than later, because I think it puts the National League teams at a disadvantage because they essentially have one less hitter to play with. And when they go into American League Park, the American League plays with their regular lineup, and the National League has somebody in the lineup who's not necessarily really a hitter. He might be a fielder, a utility player, that type of a thing, but he's not really used to that role. And I think it gives the American League a big advantage, which in the National League Parks, well, the National League team is playing with their regular lineup. The American League team loses their DH, but they still have that guy coming off the bench who's used to coming off the bench cold and hitting. And again, I think that's an advantage to the American League, and the National League needs to adapt and catch up.
Well, it certainly evens out because they each play in each other's parks during the season. I think they play an even number of games. What's always been interesting to me was a strategy decision. You're down a run or two. Your pitcher's doing pretty good. Maybe it's a 3-1 ball game, and now you're in the sixth inning or the seventh inning. You've got the number 8 hitter who's managed to get a walk or get on first. The pitcher's now coming up. You know he's probably got maybe another 20 pitches left. Do you pinch hit for him and then bring a guy in from the bullpen, or do you let him hit? In the American League, we don't have that problem. Plus, a lot of teams have really beefed up their bullpen, so it doesn't matter. That decision really is a non-brainer. You simply just have a DH bat again. On the other hand, in the National League, where you may not have such good pinch hitters and where the pitchers do routinely take batting practice, you now have a decision to make. If you've got a good relief corps, you may very well want to take that pitcher out and put a pinch hitter in, particularly if you've got a guy on. Maybe he's actually stolen second, and now he can score on a single to the opposite field. So I like the strategy, and I like the fact that it forces a manager into making decisions, because ordinarily you don't have to make that decision in the American League, unless, of course, you're playing in a National League park. Ken, we're getting near the bottom of the hour here. I'm going to take the news break and hit that button, but this has been an interesting conversation, so stay on that line.
Let's continue it when we come back.
Right. Here comes our two-minute news break, Ken.
USA Radio News with Melody Marquette.
It's not easy running for president. You get lowlifes like a guy like Rubio saying horrible things, and Who needs it? Really, who needs it? This is a lowlife.
Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump is rallying his supporters after last night's GOP debate.
The American dream is dead, but we're going to make it bigger and stronger and better than ever before. Remember that.
Trump told supporters in Fort Worth that he won all the online instant polls after the debate. Trump was heavily criticized by rivals Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. Trump said media analysts who think he did not win the debate are dishonest. Trump was introduced by New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who endorsed the billionaire businessman. Christie recently dropped out of the GOP race. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, is this the right price on paper?
Yes, it is.
That's low.
Well, Staples has everyday low prices on the office items you use most.
How do you know what my office uses most?
We have low prices on pens, coffee, pencils, tech products, ink, and paper.
You do know what we use most. You're like a psychic.
Well, that's just what I see in your cart.
Oh, right.
Go to Staples for everyday low prices, plus special deals for even more savings. Make everyday low prices happen. Make everything for your business happen. Staples, make more happen.
For over 75 years, GEICO's been about consistency, as in we've consistently helped people save money on their car insurance. And to prove it, we'll air one of our first radio commercials from over 75 years ago.
At GEICO, we're all about consistency, as in we consistently help people save money on their car insurance. To prove it, you can call GEICO. Call us today, call us tomorrow, call us 75 years from now.
That was way more consistent than I expected.
GEICO, saving people money for over 75 years.
Well, so much for GEICO and saving people money for over 75 years. Ken, it's going to be a nice weekend. Tonight, it's going to be cold and down to 18, but tomorrow, bright sunny with a high of 40. Saturday night, down to 29. Sunday, it's going to be 56 degrees, bright sunny, maybe a few clouds, but mostly sunny. Sunday night, might drop down to 49. And Monday, it's going to be 55 as a high, and again, partly cloudy, which I think means mostly sunny, the way the weather people like to talk about it. Ken, I wanted to talk a little bit about more about the Mets, since we were on the subject of baseball. The Mets look like they have a very fine core of starting pitching, but where are they going to be putting Bartolo Colon after we get about 50, 80 games into the season?
Good question, Bill. I have a feeling that Bartolo Colon will be an important member of the Mets team for the whole season. You're right. He's going to be the number five starter until such time as Zach Wheeler comes back from Tommy John surgery, and they're projecting that to be somewhere around the middle of the season. But as you know, there are so many variables with starting pitching in Major League Baseball, slumps, injuries in particular. I don't know the exact number. I think the average Major League team last year used 11 different starting pitchers. So Bartolo Colon, whether he's number five pitcher, which will be for the first half of the year, or maybe the number six pitcher in the second half of the year, in which case he may get a spot start on a doubleheader or be the long man out of the bullpen or whatever role they want to put him in. I have a feeling that he'll probably pitch in a lot of games in the second half of the season as well. And being that he's 42 years old, or actually he might be 43 this season, they need somebody with an arm like his. He's proven he can pitch the innings. He can, you know, he's proven, gosh, he's been in the majors 20 years now. They're not protecting his arm for anything like they are with some of their younger pitchers. So I think he's going to play a vital role on the team this year. And don't forget, the last 2 years, he was the Mets' leading winner of games, both in 2014 and 2014 by himself. In 2015, he tied Jacob deGrom for wins on the team. And that's what it's all about. You have to, you have to win games, whether you're 43 or 23. Winning games is what's important. And I think he's going to play a vital role for them this year.
The one thing I noticed about Colon is he seems to get a lot of ground balls, and he relies on his infielders, and he hasn't ever really thrown his arm out. I wouldn't call him a junk pitcher because he still has a good fastball and a good slider, and I've seen an awful lot of people hitting against him, literally beating balls into the dirt, and the Mets have a good infield that I think got better last season as the time went on. And I think he's going to end up being their fifth starter, and they're going to go with a five-man rotation throughout the season.
Yeah, and you know what's great about him, and I really didn't know that much about him. I mean, I kind of watched him from a distance. He pitched a lot of games with the Indians. He spent a year with the Yankees. He was with the Montreal Expos way back when they were the Expos. But I never really studied him. But now I get to see him every game. You know what I like most about him, Bill? Whether he just gave up three hits in a row or he just struck out three people in a row, he looks exactly the same on the mound. He's completely unflappable. He must be a great poker player because when you look at him, you don't know if he's ahead 5-0 or down 5-0 in the game. And I think setting that example means a lot, especially for the younger pitchers. They see, oh, this is what it's like to be a pro. You give up a couple hits, so what? You get the ball, and you go about your business. Oh, you strike a couple guys out, you get the ball, and you go about your business. It's the same. What happened to the last batter should not affect what happens to the next batter, and I think he really embodies that spirit.
That's really the key to just about anything, because remember, baseball is what a game of failure. You're doing really great if you only hit successfully 3 times out of 10, and you're doing really great if a quality start is one where you give up 3 runs or less. So what I think is that the secret baseball has for so many of us is that it teaches us to persevere even when things don't go well. You're not fighting against the clock. You're just battling an opponent. And the idea that the clock becomes your enemy, just like it does in football or baseball or hockey or soccer, just has no relevance in baseball.
That's true. The other thing I like about Bartolo Colon, he is must-see television when he's at the plate. He came to the Mets 2 years ago, had not really batted very much, and had no real skill when it comes to hitting, and he became kind of a folk hero for that. But now he's had a couple hits. He's won some games. I think he had an extra base hit last year. His bunting is something to be desired, but he's improving at it. And he, same way he is on the mound is how he is at the plate. He seems to be having fun. Even when he strikes out, it looks like he's having fun up there. And by the second half of last year, he's improved his batting to the point where he was contributing. And again, that kind of adds to his cult or folk hero status with Mets fans. That would be a big drawback if they did away with the DH, or they instituted the DH in the National League. We couldn't see Bartolo Colon at the plate anymore.
Well, that would be a shame because you're adding an extra position player who's now a specialist. The other thing I always liked about baseball was that the five tool guys were the guys who made it to the major leagues. They could hit, they could field, they could throw, they could run, and they also had what I call field smarts. The difficulty, though, now with the DH is you have a guy like Alex Rodriguez, certainly an aging star. They're not putting him in the outfield. I even wonder why he keeps a baseball glove in his locker. He's strictly there to hit and hit alone. And is he a great hitter? Yeah. He's probably going to get to 700 home runs this year and probably surpass Babe Ruth with 714 because he hit 31 last year. And he actually had a productive year coming off a year where he wasn't in baseball at all. So, and you know that I'm a sucker for comeback stories, although, you know, he's a multimillionaire, and so I'm not as sympathetic as I might be. The other thing, though, Ken, and we didn't get a chance to really touch on this yet, is how do you think the Mets will do? I mean, we've got Washington that's starting to look a little brown around the edges. The rest of the NL East doesn't really look like competition for the Mets. The Phillies may win a few games. They might get a little closer to 500. We're expecting the Phillies to finish at the bottom of the heap again this year. And it may be time for them to begin moving on the last couple of aging stars that they had from their 2008 World Championship.
Yeah, the National League East is basically a two-horse race. It's the Mets and the Nationals. The Marlins, if everything falls right for them, they could be a third contender, but I think the Mets have what it takes to beat out the Marlins. The Braves and the Phillies are rebuilding. I don't see them as threats at all. But it's funny, though. The Nationals had a terrible year last year. Everyone agrees they had a terrible year. And they were only 7 games behind the Mets. 7 games over the course of 6 months can be easily made up. So the Mets have to be very careful to get off to a good start, play consistently well, because the last thing you want to do is not win the division and be in the position where you're scrambling for a wild card game. And that wild card game is a one-game playoff. Look at the Pirates the last couple of years. Last year, for instance, they won 98 games. What did that get them? A one-day playoff, which they lost for, I think it was the third consecutive year they lost the one-game playoff. So, a good team. They won 98. Put that in perspective. The Mets won 90. The Mets went to the World Series. All the planets aligned and all the cards fell the right way for the Mets. They parlayed their 90 wins to a World Series. The poor Pirates won 98 games, and they got a one-game playoff loss out of it. So even if the Mets are as good as I think they could be this year, they have to make sure they play consistently well, win the division, and not get caught up in that one-game playoff and get some, perhaps even a home field advantage in the postseason. I think that's what they need to play for this year.
I think you're right. It's interesting, that one-game playoff was something where the Yankees literally snuck into a wild card spot and didn't play well in their one-game playoff. I think that Jacoby Ellsbury didn't play, and I know A-Rod was handcuffed somewhat in that playoff as well. Teixeira was out hurt. Greg Bird did have a good game, but nobody else did. But the Yankees don't look like a strong team this year. They've got a lot of questions with their starting lineup. They've really beefed up their bullpen. Nobody knows whether Arnaldis Chapman is going to find himself suspended for the first 20 or 30 games or not. He says he's going to appeal regardless of what happens. But remember, the Yankees had a lot of injuries last year. And they also had some difficulties at third. They had a resurgent over the second half, D.D. Gregorius, and they've also added a new second baseman. Additionally, the Yankees have picked up and brought up a rookie, Luis Severino, who frankly carried them in August and September and actually produced 8 or 9 wins for them, and I think those were critical wins to getting them to their one-game wild card spot. But it's going to be an interesting year for the Yankees. I hope they can get a good start out of the gate. I hope everybody stays healthy and they can be playing meaningful games in August, whereas I think the Mets might just run away with it. It's going to be an interesting battle to see who gets all the attention on the back page of the sports tabloids in New York.
We'll see, Bill. I think the Yankees, with the bullpen that they've put together, it's basically a 6-inning game. Or a 7-inning game at most, because they have not one, not two, but 3 lights-out closer-quality pitchers. So if you're not ahead of the Yankees in the 6th or 7th inning, 99% of the time you're going to lose this year. And I think a lot depends on the health of their starting rotation and the health of guys like Teixeira and Carlos Beltran and Jacoby Ellsbury. And again, if the planets align and the cards fall their way, I think the Yankees could win the American League East, and at the same time, if they have multiple injuries and guys like CC Sabathia and Tanaka do have injuries or don't perform as well as they should in the rotation, the Yankees could fall as far as last place in that division. I think it's a very tightly bunched division, unlike the National League East, where the Phillies and Braves are going to be lagging behind. I think 10 games could be the difference between first and last in the American League East. I think the Yankees have a good chance to win it.
I think so, too. This team has surprised me that they didn't play well last year with the Baltimore Orioles. They finished last. And that was a shock to me because I thought the Orioles coming out of spring training looked pretty good. And I've always been a Buck Showalter fan. The Yankees are, as you correctly point out, have some problems with their starting rotation. Tanaka's coming off surgery. Sabathia's coming off a rehab stint where he had to take himself out of the game and out of the team for the 30 days where he realized he had a personal problem. Ivan Nova has health issues, and likewise the same thing with Pineda. So unless Luis Severino is going to crack the starting lineup somehow, I think the Yankees are going to be in trouble. They do have some excitement with Luis Severino, who I think is going to turn into a really good young pitcher for them over the course of the season. This will not be his rookie year, because he played enough games that he's no longer a rookie, but I think it's going to be an exciting time for the Yanks. I'm hoping for some good baseball.
I'm looking forward to it. I think there's a lot of good teams in both leagues, and the wild card really adds an element to it that everyone goes in with the knowledge that, well, I don't have to win the division. I can finish second and still compete for the World Series. And I think that puts so many teams into the mix. I mean, there's already 8 teams going to the playoffs, including the wild card. So, it's actually 10 teams, right? You have the 3 division winners and the 2 wild card teams in each league. So there's 10 teams out of 30 major leaguers, out of major league teams, that make the playoffs. So you get into September now, and you probably have 20 or 22 teams that have a shot at least to make the wild card game. And I think that makes it exciting for a lot more fans than previously before there was a wild card.
No doubt about it. And the fact that there's only 2 wild card teams in 3 divisions makes it even more interesting. I like when the season's in doubt till the last game or two, because that way every game's meaningful. It becomes a lot more intense, just like hockey is heating up right now. Ken, we've got a break for 3 commercials, so let me get those out of the way, and then we'll talk about hockey. Your game?
Okay. I'll be here.
Okay, that sounds real good, Ken. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
Hey, sports guys are back. It's Bill Wolfson with Ken Millstreet coming to you through the magic of our telephone system and all those other cool electronic things. Ken, we haven't talked any hockey yet. I know the Rangers have managed to come out of their funk. They played some very good hockey led by their amazing goaltender, Henrik Lundqvist. So what do you think for the rest of the season? How are the Rangers going to make out?
You know, I've been saying all along that I think they're going to make the playoffs, and we'll see what happens from there. So much depends on what their momentum going into the playoffs. Team health has a lot to do with it. And we have the NHL trading deadline coming up on Monday. So we'll see if the Rangers can add a part or two. I don't think they have a lot of room under the cap. And I don't think they're going to be doing anything major. But they could do some fine-tuning, maybe another forward, a power forward type of a third-line player, or another depth type of defenseman, because if they're going to go far in the playoffs, you need that kind of depth, because you know you're going to have injuries and people get dinged up a little bit during a long haul in the playoffs. But it's kind of a crazy week for the Rangers. They beat the St. Louis Blues, one of the best teams in the Western Conference. They beat the Detroit Red Wings, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. And in between, they lost to the New Jersey Devils, who are not currently in position to make the playoffs. So that just kind of goes to show you what can happen in the NHL, the parity of the league, and that any team can beat any other team on a given night. The Rangers just keep striving for consistency. They deserve to lose that game to the Devils because the Devils outplayed them. They definitely looked, I guess the term is, more hungry to win that game. They're a little bit more desperate. They need wins to make the playoffs, and it definitely showed against the Rangers. And it's unfortunate. The Rangers have lost the season series to not only the Devils, but also their local rivals, the Islanders and the Flyers. And it's really hurt the Rangers in the standings, I think. If they could turn those season series around, in other words, they lost 3 out of 4 to the Devils, the season series is over. If they had turned that around, they'd be in a much better or more comfortable position as we head down the stretch towards the playoffs. The worst thing you want going into the playoffs is struggling to make the playoffs, because then by the time you get to the playoffs, your team could possibly be burnt out. I'd rather be in a position where you're comfortable going in, not that you want to coast in, but you're comfortable. You can rest players if you have to, and there's not that tension going into the last day of the season. I think that could really drain a team.
Well, that's true, but I noticed that Washington with 44 wins is just going to coast on their way in. Washington is about 10 points ahead of the Rangers. The Rangers look like a very comfortable fit for second place. They're what, about 8 up on the Islanders this morning?
Well, I think it's closer than that, Bill. I think it's more like 3 or 4, but you could be right. I haven't looked at the standings lately. But the Islanders have been playing well. They're on a road trip, and they've won 3 or 4 games consecutively.
Well, you know, New Jersey has their work cut out for them tonight. They face off at home with Tampa tonight at 7. And New Jersey's got 67 points. They are basically just 1 point out of a wild card spot, because Detroit with 71 holds the first wild card position in the East, and Pittsburgh with 68 points holds the second. But right behind them is Carolina, who plays Boston tonight, and then my team, the Philadelphia Flyers, with 65 points. Hopefully we'll have a couple of wins they can string together. They had a great win last night against the Minnesota Wild with an incredible save with 2.6 seconds to go by Bob Neuwirth. He managed to bat a puck out of the air before it crossed the goal line with his stick, and then trap it with his catching glove. The play was replayed, and it turned out that there was no goal, and a very disappointed Minnesota Wild team skated off, and a very happy Flyer team got to move up a little bit. But this Flyers play Arizona on Saturday, Calgary on Monday, and Edmonton on Wednesday, all teams with losing records. The problem with the Flyers is they tend to have a letdown against teams with records that are not as good as their own. But I'm hoping that they can put together a streak of 4 or 5 wins before they play Tampa a week from Monday. Meanwhile, you've got Carolina at Boston, as I said, and you've got the Devils at Tampa. Pittsburgh is going to be playing the Winnipeg Jets Saturday night, and Detroit with 71 points has Colorado on Saturday. So it's going to be an interesting weekend. Where are the Rangers this weekend?
You know, that's a good question. I know they were in St. Louis last night. I think they play Columbus this weekend. And Columbus, you know, it seems like they get off to a terrible start every year. And then they turned things around. They beat the Devils 6-1 last night.
Columbus really exploded.
Yeah, very surprising result. I hope they don't repeat that against the Rangers this weekend.
Well, Columbus has some good scoring, particularly from guys like Scott Hartnell, who always was one of my favorite when he was with Philly. And the goaltending was Sergei Bobrovsky. Sergei, I thought, would turn out a little better than he has been, but I know he's had a pretty tough time given the defensemen that are in front of him. And there was also a coaching change. The other team that's been interesting to watch is Winnipeg. Winnipeg managed to lose 14 out of 15 games. They had a coaching change, and suddenly they're playing well. Likewise, the Anaheim Ducks had a terrible start to the season, changed coaches, and managed to creep back into playoff contention, and now they're simply a point or two behind the Los Angeles Kings in the West. But do you have any prediction as to who the wild card teams are going to be in the NHL in the East?
I think, and it's a little early because we still have about 6 weeks to go in the season, but I think the way the standings are currently construed is the way they'll end up ultimately finishing. In other words, in the Eastern Division, I think the Red Wings and the Penguins will both get in. I don't think the Devils or the Panthers or the Flyers are going to catch, or anybody else is going to catch them. And in the Western Conference, I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the wild card teams right now are Nashville and Colorado. I think Minnesota may catch Colorado. Winnipeg just traded one of their longtime stars, Andrew Ladd, last night, traded him to the Blackhawks for a number one pick. So I think Winnipeg is basically telling their fans they're done this year. But I think Nashville will hold on for the wild card spot, and I think the last one will be between Minnesota and Colorado. I think Minnesota may catch them. They just went through a coaching change as well. They've been playing a lot better, so that ought to be interesting. But the bad news for that is the team that finishes eighth, the second wild card spot, essentially, you know, they get to play the Chicago Blackhawks in the first round, so that'll be an extremely tough matchup for them.
I would expect so. We only have a few more minutes to go, folks. I wanted to encourage everybody to get outdoors this weekend. We're going to be getting some great weather over the weekend. It's going to be warmer, sunny in the 50s. Good idea to get up off that couch and get outdoors. Ken, what are your plans for the weekend? Are you going to do any sports watching or be outdoors?
You know what, Bill? We're getting close to spring. I might actually, if the ground dries out a little bit, I might just start on my spring cleaning in the yard. I will be watching the Rangers with an eye on the spring training in Florida as well.
Well, that's good. Tomorrow we're going to be finishing painting a room in the morning. I'm going to be trying to get in a workout and get in a good, nice walk in the sunshine in the afternoon. And Sunday I'm going to be going out to my cousin's house up in Pennsylvania near New Tripoli. We are going to be installing a solar panel array. We're going to be installing about 40 panels on a series of posts and then wiring them up. And hopefully by the time we get done, we'll have some solar power flowing into his house.
Nice. You sound like a busy weekend.
Yeah. I don't let the grass go under my feet. And the weekend after, we're going to be starting on getting the boat ready to be commissioned, and hopefully you'll come out with us this season.
Sounds like fun.
It always is to be out on the water. Folks, it's 5:58. We've got one more spot to play, and I'm going to hit that button now. But, Ken, stay on the line because there's still a little bit to talk about.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Ken, we've got 5 minutes of news coming up, and then I'm going to hit rewind. So,
it's not easy running
if you need to go ahead.
You get lowlifes like a guy like Rubio saying horrible things,
Ken, you still there?
And
I'm still here.
Okay,
who
well.
Needs it? Really, who needs it?
This I'm going to wish life.